hold it, you know, just hold the name of the guy.
I know that, I know that.
What time do you want this?
I do that.
Okay, so, yeah, what we're going to examine tonight is the status of, once again, we're going to deal with Purim. And we're going to examine the status of Purim and how it's framed halachically, either as a Yom Tov or not as a Yom Tov. I mean, what aspects of a Yom Tov does Purim have? And even if Purim is not going to be considered a Yom Tov, so let's say on certain halachos, how does it stack up against something like Hanukkah? What? Okay, good. So that's on my list over here.
Oh, good.
Okay, so we're gonna discuss that.
Shushan Purim.
Yeah, Shushan Purim also is very interesting.
Of
what? Okay. So on page one, that's one of the very first question you have to ask when you want to know whether something is a Yom Tov. So that's the question of Isser Malacha. Right? Is there any prohibition of labor and activity on the day of Purim? So the Gemara in Megillah on Hayamud Aleph actually poses this question, and the Gemara gives us the following story. Am Rabbi Elazar, Am Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Natan Etiyah B'Purim. So Rabbi planted something on Purim. So the Gemara says, V'Rabbi Hecha Natan Etiyah B'Purim. How could Rabbi have planted on Purim? V'Hatani Rav Yosef, Simcha U'Mishte V'Yom Tov. The Megillah itself says that Purim is Simcha, a day of celebration, Mishte, of partying, V'Yom Tov, and a holiday. Simcha melamed sha'asurim behesped. Simcha teaches you that you can't give a eulogy. Mishte melamed sha'asur betanis. Mishte tells you you can't fast. V'yom tov melamed sha'asur basiyas melacha. Yom tov tells you that it's a day where it prohibited labors. Just like Shabbos and Yom tov. So Elos, the Gemara says, no. So it must be Rebbe bar arbesar hava. Rebbe was a day from a town that should have celebrated Purim on the 14th. V'chinata b'chameisar nata. And he was planting on Shushan Purim. So he wasn't really planting on Purim at all. So Gemara says, Eini v'harebi b'tveria. So Gemara says, no. Really what happened is that initially they wanted to establish Purim as a Yom Tov with Isser Melacha, and then none of the Jewish people accepted it. Nobody wanted another day of Isser Melacha. So if you look in the Megillah, in the last formulation, they drop Yom Tov. It says, Yom Mishtev Isimcha, and Yom Tov doesn't appear in the final formulation of what Purim is. Yes, the Gemara says there was this two stages. Initially they wanted to prohibit labor, and then they gave up on it. The Rambam Paskins, next source, the Rambam says, second line in the Rambam, after the comma, Umutter ba'asiyas melacha, you're allowed to do melacha on Purim, v'af apichein ein roi lasos bo melacha, but still it's better not to do melacha. Amru chachamim, kol ha'osa melacha b'yom Purim, ein ha'roa simin bracha li'olam. And if you do melacha on Purim, so you're not going to be roa simin bracha. Right? It's not... Seems like it's an unauspicious time to be doing labor. The Gemara says the labor won't be fruitful. Right? Somebody planted a tree and the tree died, you know, early. That's what the Gemara says. But the Rambam here is saying that it's permitted to do labor, but nonetheless, it's like not appropriate. But so there's some echo of that initial prohibition of labor.
Labor means malacha, as we understand it on Shabbos, as opposed to going to the office and suing somebody.
Right. Presumably, it means going to the office in this context.
It does.
Yeah. Presumably, that's what it means. Not the strict definition that we have on Shabbos. Okay. If you look in Shulchan Aruch, they actually do raise this question. The Bach here quotes the Ma'aril that maybe like you shouldn't even write unless you shouldn't write extra things unless you really have to, even just ksiva. Okay. People argue about the details.
Like chalamoid.
Yeah, kind of like a chalamoid, Isser Malacha. So that's the first question. So there, it's kind of for sure mutter, just. There's some echo of a prohibition. What about avelos? Right, we know that yamim tovim are doche avelos. When it comes to Purim, you actually have three different perspectives in the Rishonim. The first is that of the Rambam. Hilchos avel perek yud aleph, the Rambam says, v'chein ein maspidin as hameis b'chanukah u'purim. You can't give a eulogy both on Chanukah and on Purim. V'lo b'rashei chadashim, not on Rosh Chodesh, aval noagin bohen kol divrei avelos. But all the laws of mourning apply both on Purim and on Chanukah. Okay? So it's not a holiday at all with respect to mourning.
Isn't it
only Friday? Okay, no. According to the Rambam, it's all dini avelos. What? I don't know. I have to check the Shulchan Aruch to see how we hold. Could be we don't paskin this way. But the Rambam's position is that all avelos is noheg. Okay? Well, it is true for the Rambam.
Okay. Oh, right.
Right?
He goes a lot of the
Okay. The Tur in Orach Chaim in Hilchos Megillah and Simen Tafres Tzadivav, he quotes the Shiltos, a very early position from the Gonim. She'im meis lo meis bipurim, asr lahaspido, velo linho gavelos. You're not knowing gavelos at all. And the Shiltos goes further to say that let's say Purim comes in your fourth or fifth day of Avelos, of Shiva, so Purim destroys the entire Avelos. Just like if a Yom Tov came, let's say your third day of Avelos was Yom Tov, of Shiva was Yom Tov, so you're not knowing Avelos for the rest of the days. Because Yom Tov has that power to undermine Avelos. So the Shilto says the same din applies to Purim. So Purim, with respect to mourning, is a full Yom Tov. The Maharami Rutenberg, see on the last word on the second line, Vaharami Rutenberg Kasav, She'ein Mevatlin Avelos, against the position of the Shiltos, Purim does not undermine Avelos, Umikol Makom, Ein Avelos Nohig Behem. But you still shouldn't practice Avelos, kind of like Shabbos, right, where you don't keep the laws of Avelos, but it doesn't undermine the count of Avelos. Right? So you see, actually, you have three different formulations here in the Rishonim. According to the Rambam, there's full Avelos. According to the Maharam, there's partial, there are no customs of Avelos, but the Avelos continues through Purim. According to the Shiltos, Purim undermines the entire count. Okay, so you have three positions in the Gaonim about Avelos and how it works with the Yom Tov of Purim. Now.
I think there's a hybrid, actually.
What?
I think there's a hybrid.
Like the Maharami Rutenberg.
No, it's even more of
I mean, they'll only keep things bitsina.
It's soft Shiva.
Uh-huh.
People can visit, but it's kind of like casual, and it's a gray kind of
Yeah, you'll see. I mean, in the details of it, you'll see the postgame in Shulchan Aruch have this whole question: could an avil is usually not supposed to go to shul?
Have a Megillah reading at the house.
Right, okay, so that's a big debate in Shulchan Aruch, whether it's even okay for him to go to shul on Purim night. Because if you think that there's no Avelos whatsoever, so let him go to shul with everybody else.
Like Shabbos, you can go to shul.
Yeah, that's what some people think. So this is all debating the character of...
It's a little more gray
than that.
That's what they customize.
Could be. Okay. A parallel question to Avelos, which is on the opposite side of the spectrum. What's the din? Are you allowed to get married on Yom Tov?
No.
No, why not? Oh, in ma'arvin simcha b'simcha. You can't mix one kind of simcha, the simcha of a wedding, with the simcha of Yom Tov. So now here the question is a little tricky. Because everyone agrees that Purim is a day of simcha, right? It's a day of celebration, but it's not a day of simchas Yom Tov. So which aspect of simcha is relevant for in ma'arvin simcha b'simcha? Right? Is it just the fact that it's a day of celebration? Or is it the fact that Yom Tov is a specific kind of celebration which is incompatible with the simcha of a wedding? Right? So here, look on top of page 2. This question was posed to the Rashba. In mutter lisa isha bipurim. Can you marry someone on Purim? Kivan dekaimelon ein nosim isha bimoed. Since the halakha that we have is that you can't get married on a Yom Tov. Mishum de'ein ma'arvin simcha b'simcha. V'hai taima nami shayich bipurim. And that rationale of ein ma'arvin, not mixing simchas, is pertinent to Purim. Deha simcha b'simchahi. V'simcha u'mishteh kabilu alayu. It's a reference to the Gemara. Even though they rejected the prohibition of labor, they accepted Purim as day of simcha. So the Rashba's response is really unequivocal, and he says, of course, mistavar shehu mutter d'visamachta b'chagecha k'siv. It's only the kind of simcha of a holiday that's incompatible with the simcha of a wedding. Not the just pure simcha of Purim, which isn't bound to its specific definition as a holiday. It's just rejoicing. Rejoicing per se is not contradictory to rejoicing at a wedding. If you look at the Ramah in the Darkei Moshe, the Ramah wrote a series of glosses to Shulchan Aruch, and he also wrote a whole series of more lengthy glosses to the Tur. That's the Darkei Moshe over here. And you'll see he has Tzarech Iyun, right? He's not sure initially. Then in the second paragraph, he quotes the Mahari Brin, who says, second paragraph in Darkei Moshe, Shekasa behedya leesor lasos nesuin biyom yedalid uviyom tesvav. Right, you can't get married either on Purim or on Shushan Purim. Right, just like you were saying that you're not allowed to eulogize somebody on Purim and on Shushan Purim. Both days have a din of simcha. So he says you can't get married both on Purim and on Shushan Purim. Bein bayom, bein balayla. And even says on Tanis Esther you can't get married because you might have the suda going into Purim itself. Yeah, but he himself, that's the Ramah quotes from the Maribrin, then he disagrees. Vani Omer, afal pi she'eini kedai lach lokalei. I'm right, I think, even though I'm not fit to disagree with them, that it's only the simcha of the of a chag which is incompatible with the wedding, like the tshuva of the Rashba. Okay? So, with respect to Avelos, with respect to Nisuin, with respect to Isser Malacha, so the Rishonim kind of debate whether it has the status of Yom Tov, or whether it has the status of just a regular day. Okay? Okay. Now look in the next source on page 2. This is a quotation from the Ravid. The Ravid was asked the following question. Noagu likrosa mi bodyom leil arba asar kede lahakel alha enushim valha mi'ubaros shelo lehisanos yosar midai. The Ravid was asked, and he paskin that you could, can you read Megillah on Tainus Esther before it gets dark? This way, the women and children who are fasting, this way they could eat, you know, earlier in the day. So can you push up Mikra Megillah to the late afternoon of Tanis Esther? So what would you say if you were asked that question? You'd say no, because it's not Purim yet. Right? You're dealing with Tanis Esther, you're not dealing with Purim. So how could he be Yotzei Kriyas HaMegillah on Tanis Esther?
Didn't we make some exceptions for the 11th and stuff for people who work at
home? Okay, but those in the old days they did that. The Ravid seems to be saying that even today could we make this exception. Okay. And the Ravid argues that you can. Now this is very surprising. How could you fulfill the obligation of Kriyas HaMegillah before it's actually Purim? The Chumash Hadeshin in Simen Kuf Tes was asked a very similar question, and he was asked it a little differently. The Chumash Hadeshin assumes that you're prohibited from eating until after Mikra Megillah. So let's say your shul is davening Ma'ariv at 10 o'clock at night. And it's way into the night. So Tanis Esther really should have ended by all the laws of normal fast days. Fast days end at Tzeisak Kochavim. But the Chumash Hadeshin says that Tanis Esther continues until whenever you hear Kriyas HaMegillah. That's very surprising. Again, the Ravid was contending that you can move up Mikra Megillah into Tanis Esther. The Chumash Hadeshin is arguing that the fast day of Tanis Esther goes until you actually hear the Kriyas HaMegillah. So then the Chumash Hadeshin was asked, which is better? To move Mikra Megillah up like the Ravid so you could break your fast earlier in the day, or to break your fast after it's dark already on Purim and eat before Kriyas HaMegillah? Okay, so which one would you...
Is the example actually that you can eat during the day? If you move up Kriyas HaMegillah to 3 p.m., that you can eat at 3:30? Or are they talking about you would still have to... You still have to wait until Tzeisak Kochavim, it's just that you don't have to wait...
He's talking about Miplaga Mincha.
It should be fine to move.
He's talking about...
To eat and then have read the Megillah later.
What?
Talking about...
It should have been fine, right. But he's arguing, he's assuming, and he answers me that you can't. Yeah. And he's assuming, yeah, that you would be eating while it's still daylight after Plaga Mincha.
Okay.
So, like,
if you wait until Seder Kochavim.
So he still thinks that you shouldn't be eating before Kriyas HaMegillah, because Tanis Esther continues until you hear the Megillah. Yeah. So we blurred the boundaries now between Tanis Esther and Purim. Now, I'll just point out that if you're dealing with something that's defined as a regular Chag, as a regular holiday, it's clear that the Chag starts at nightfall, and it ends at Tzeisak Kochavim. It has very defined boundaries. But here, I think the very fact that we're blurring the boundaries with respect to moving up Mikra Megillah and with respect to keeping preserving the fast until Mikra Megillah shows that there's some inherent connection between Tanis Esther and Megillas Esther and Purim itself that needs to be defined.
It's like
Erev Yom Kippur. Yeah, it's a nice contrast. I think somebody asked me... Yeah, Yom Kippurim, that was one of his examples of Yom Kippurim. That you have like the fast day and the celebration, but on Yom Kippur it's inverted. Right? So that's an interesting parallel. Okay? So once again, the Chumash Hadeshin actually rules better to move up Mikra Megillah and eat while it's still day than to eat before Mikra Megillah at night. That's his ruling. Right? You could see the Ramah's ruling on the bottom of page 2. Asur lechol b'leil hatainis. Afagav de kasha alava tainis ad sheyishma kriyas haMegillah. Prohibited to eat until you hear kriyas haMegillah, even if the fast is very hard for you. Okay, now let me give you another parallel example. Top of page 3. Lagos Maimonios, Ramera Kohen, a Talmud of the Maharami Rutenberg, So he wrote in his arguments with the Rambam. So he writes, Nira leharam, that's the Maharam in Rotenberg, she'omrim al hanisim ba'arvis purim, afal pishalo karu es ha-megillah. This is what we do. You get to daven Ma'ariv on Purim night. So do you say al hanisim? Of course. But you didn't read Mikra Megillah yet?
So what?
So what? Right? That's just something that happens later, but it's already Purim. Oh, so that's what the Maharam in Rotenberg says. Right, you say al hanisim even though you haven't read the Megillah yet. Delo kesido Rav Amram. This is against the position of Rav Amram Gon. She pasak she ein lo omro ad achar kriyas haMegillah. You could only say al hanisim in benching or in davening if you read kriyas haMegillah before Shmon Esrei. Very surprising. Why should kriyas haMegillah determine whether you could say al hanisim in your tfilos of Purim? Right, it should have been defined as Purim the moment it became. The moment the sun went down. Okay, so once again, this points to this fluid boundary between Tanis Esther and the day of Purim itself. In the next source, on page 3, we know that on any Yom Tov, you don't say Tachnun. Now, you only say Tachnun during the week. You don't say Tachnun on Shabbos, you don't say Tachnun on Yom Tov, you don't say Tachnun on Rosh Chodesh, you don't say Tachnun whenever it's a holiday. You don't even say Tachnun on an Erev Yom Tov. Okay, or Erev Shabbos. So look at this Tur Ora Chaim. Kasav Rav Amram Gon. Again, this is Rav Amram Gon we saw before. Minog b'shtei yeshivos, lipol al paneyem, the minog in the two yeshivos of Bavel, kivan shehu yom nes, that they said tachnun on Purim, since it's the day of a miracle, v'nigalu, and they were redeemed, tzrichin anu levakesh rachamim sheigalenu b'achrona, kivarishona. So we also have to ask for mercy that we should be redeemed again, just like we were redeemed on Purim. But the way we rule, and the way everyone else, but our custom is, of course, we don't say tachnun. Why? Because we treat Purim as a quasi holiday. It doesn't warrant tachnun. But what Rav Amram Gon is assuming is that Purim is not sufficiently a Yom Tov to warrant not saying tachnun. Now, this is the same Rav Amram Gon who a source earlier said that you can't say al hanisim until you actually read the Megillah. Right? So maybe he's very consistent here in his reasoning. He doesn't see Purim as a holiday. All you have on Purim is a bundle of mitzvos. So once you trigger those mitzvos, then you could say al hanisim in tefillah. And that's also the same reason why you're not gonna, why you will say tachnun, because the day itself doesn't have an intrinsic status as a chag. There is the on page 3 next source, or skip the. You could skip the. The next question is a little trickier, so maybe I'll come back to it. What about halal on Purim? All right, so what's our minhag? We don't say halal on Purim. We don't say halal on Purim. Okay, why not?
The Gemara discusses it a couple of pages ahead there.
Okay, good.
Couple of different.
You don't even have the sources in front of you. How do you know the Gemara is here?
We went over.
Okay.
You don't say halal on things outside of Eretz Yisrael.
That's one of the things.
Okay, that's one of the things. What else do you have? Very good. What else?
The Megillah,
it's intrinsic in the Megillah. All right, so that's one day in the Gemara. Kriyas haMegillah zui helela. The Megillah itself is Kriyas haMegillah. And what's another day in the Gemara? They only say halal when you're fully redeemed. Like Mitzrayim. You started off as Avdei Paro, and now you're Ovdei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yeah, you're still paying taxes to HaKashverosh. That's the Gemara says. So, what does the Gemara mean when it says Kriyas haMegillah zui helela? Right? Does the Gemara mean that Purim as a day doesn't warrant halal? Right? Or does it mean that you're fulfilling your obligation to say halal through the actual Mikra Megillah? How do you understand the Gemara?
It's the same thing Rosh Hashanah.
Well, on Rosh Hashanah, what's happening on Rosh Hashanah?
I say halal, Rosh Hashanah.
Why? Yeah, because you're being the Sifrei Chaim, Sifrei Mesim, Psuchim, Lefanavatim, Omrim Shira. Right? If the books of judgment open in front of you, so you can't say halal. But there it seems like you can't say halal at all on Rosh Hashanah. Right, celebrating or singing that praise is a contradiction to standing in judgment. That's the same rationale for Purim. So what's Kriya Zui Halela? Right? So the Meiri here on the bottom of page 3 just says, poses a very basic question. He says, let's say you don't have a Megillah where you are. You're in a community that doesn't have a Megillah. What do you do? So very good. So the Meiri says you should say Hala. And that's not like Rosh Hashanah, because the whole point of Rosh Hashanah is that's a contradiction to the day. Davar Yaduahu, second to last source on page 3. It's a well-known fact. She'ein omrim halal bepurim. Aval tam min yaso nechaku ala b'gemar. There's a dispute in the Gemara why. V'hu she'echad mehem amar she'kriyasa zuhi helula. You accomplish halal through reading the Megillah. V'nir li l'tam zeh. She'im hay b'makom she'ein lo Megillah. She'kore yasa halal. Because she'harei lo nimna kriyasa ela mipnei she'kriyasa Megillah b'mkoma. The only reason why you don't say real challah is because you're fulfilling challah through Kriyas HaMegillah. So if you don't have the Megillah, then you come back to a real challah.
How does he hold the... Obviously he doesn't hold it all by the fact since the nace occurred outside of...
Yeah, he's not holding of that.
Now he doesn't hold the fact that it's an incomplete redemption.
Right, right. He's working within the view that it's Kriyas HaMegillah Zuhi Halela. 100%.
So what's his view about Al-Anisim on the night that nobody's saying the Megillah?
The Miri? Not sure. I don't know what he holds on that position. Now, some people point out that this is actually not so obvious in the Gemara. Why not?
Well, first of all, there's no pasuk in the Megillah that praises Hashem like Hallel might.
Right.
We say Kivu Mekivu, which is a nice thing, but it doesn't equal Hallel.
Right. And some people even say that the only kind of halal you could have on Purim is kind of like a more subtle halal through Kriyas HaMegillah. Like a full all-out halal is not warranted on a day like Purim. Okay, maybe we'll see why in a minute. Meaning it's not that Mikra Megillah substitutes for halal. Mikra Megillah is the only kind of halal that you could be saying on a day like Purim.
But that makes perfect sense. That explanation makes perfect sense. It's halal on this one, which is you're not allowed to say it every day.
Right. Kol Omer Halal B'chol Yom Reza Mechari from Agadeh.
Right. So therefore, there's no way that on Purim, being that it was not a complete redemption, that you were going to say...
Well, the Meiri is working... Right, but the Meiri is working within this opinion that it's...
Why don't they come up with a half halal?
Well, that's what the Meiri thinks this Kriyas HaMegillah is.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what Kriyas HaMegillah would be. They say, like, from Rav Huttner, I think, that, like, because the whole nace of Purim was, like, a nace nistar, it's like the halal of Purim has to be nistar in the Megillah, so, like, a very nice idea. Okay. On the bottom of page 3, you have the position of the Maharil, and some people follow this position. Maharil hayalovesh bigdei Shabbos bepurim. Right? He felt that people should be wearing their Shabbos clothes on Purim. Right? Doesn't say that anywhere in the Gemara, but he felt it's natural to import halachos of Shabbos and Yom Tov into the day of Purim. On top of page 4. What? Most people don't fall. Most people get dressed up, so. Right. Well, sometimes you see people with suits and. Right, yeah, I guess.
I assume he wasn't wearing a mask wearing Spider-Man.
On Shabbos. Probably not. So look at the second source on page 4. Su'udas Purim. This is the ruling in the Shulchan Aruch. Sudas Purim she'asa belayla lo yatzei dechavasa. If you had your Purim Suda at night, so you didn't fulfill your obligation of a Suda. Then the Rama adds in, u'mikol makom gam belayla yisamach v'yirbe k'tzas besuda. At night you should also have some sort of Suda. Where does that come from? Like, why would you... The Gemara never mentions anything about a Suda belayla. So look back at the source above it. Kasa bim Mordechai v'shem Ravya. The Mordechai quotes the position of the Ravya. Top of page 4, first source. So the Rav Yah is the grandson of the Ravan, who was talking about Mashkunos earlier. So the Mordechai quotes the Rav Yah, Shetzarech linho kelele Shabbos v'yomyo, dumya dekriya v'amechaber tamalav. So the Mordechai, the position of the Rav Yah is that just like Shabbos has a Suda at night, you should have a Suda at night on Purim. And the Mordechai got really angry at him, because nowhere in the Gemara do you find that you could have a Suda at night. And then the Shulchan Aruch goes through somersaults to try to tell people that your Suda at night has to be different from your Suda at day, because we don't want people to think that you could be Yotzei Sudas Purim at night. So they're kind of arguing that you have this element of just like a Yom Tov, where you have to have two Sudos, but the real Suda of Purim is the Suda of the day.
Otherwise you can get confused, have your Suda at night.
And you think that you're Yotzei.
You don't have to go off to work.
Right.
And you go see people.
Right, but the Ravya just made up this Suda at night. Right, he made up the Suda at night because he's importing halachos from Shabbos and Yom Tov, which the Mordechai felt there were no grounds for, because Purim is a different kind of a day.
Suing people is an element of simcha.
Now, this is a very interesting point also, because what happens when Purim falls out on Shabbos? It's Nidcha. Okay, but could you have a Sudas Purim on Shabbos? What's Nidcha? The Kriyas HaMegillah is Nidcha. Right? You can have Purim Meshulash, because you have certain dinim that would apply on Shabbos. But why can't you have a Sudas Purim on Shabbos? But that's only, that really applies to Mikra Megillah. That's one day in the Gemara, that you can't have Kriyas HaMegillah on Purim, because you need to give Matanos Levyonim, and you can't give Matanos Levyonim on Shabbos. Yeah. Why can't you have the Suda? So the Yushalmi says, what? No. The Yushalmi says, because by definition, the Purim, the Suda of Purim, has to be a Suda Bidei Adam. It has to be a man-initiated meal. But if it's stemming from the same obligation as your Sudas Shabbos, then you can't fulfill your mitzvah of Sudas Purim. Yeah, because Yontif is different. Purim is a special din in Purim that it has to be like an independently generated Suda. It can't piggyback on a previous obligation. Okay?
Yeah.
Right, 100%. It has to be purely your own initiation. Now,
so it can't be at a wedding? Where you have a Sudas Mitzvah?
Right, probably you can't use it as the same.
We do have weddings on Purim, no?
Right, but you can't be Yotze.
Yeah, I think we do.
Yeah, that's what I was mentioning earlier. But you can't be Yotze, probably you wouldn't be able to be Yotze your Sudas Purim with that Suda of the wedding.
Yeah,
you have to have a special meal that's just for Sudas Purim.
That's a big war food.
Sounds like. Something like that.
That's a great idea.
But what I think, what's fascinating here, is that you have a recurring theme throughout these halachos of Purim, in contrast to Yom Tov, that the mitzvos of Purim, by definition, aren't created by a Kedushas Hayom. It's not the status of the day that creates the mitzvos. They have to be mitzvos that are created by you. So, for example, it's your Kriyas HaMegillah that triggers the Alanisim. Right? It's your Kriyas HaMegillah that ends Tanis Esther. Here, the mitzvah of Sudas Purim has to be purely initiated by you. It can't piggyback on a Simcha Bidei Shemayim. Okay, so this is like a recurring theme in the mitzvahs of a Purim over here.
But that's the mitzvah side. Going back to the Avela side, is it the same thing?
According to who?
Well, so that's the thing. If you go along with three different approaches to
right.
The Avela side, and if you want to say, according to the person that said, Avela's breaks it up completely as if it was a yontif,
right.
Then there was something about the status of that day that made it the status of the day.
Right.
If you want to say that it's a, whether it's a quasi situation or whatever, and it's then it's what you are doing personally, and it's not the status of the day thing.
Right.
Does that make any sense?
100%. Yeah. I think that the view of the Shiltos, so, that extreme view of the Shiltos, does seem to assume that there is definitely some intrinsic status to the day, as do the Shitos, who think that the way we paskin, that you say Al Anisim the moment it becomes nightfall,
right.
And that Tanis Esther is over when the day ends.
Right, so it's not, right, so it's something with status of the day.
Yeah, I think they would contend that. But I'm saying there's also a whole line of reasoning over here that seems to hold to the contrary, right? There's something very different. Something very different about Purim.
Al Anisim is your, say, pure in Shiva. You say holiday.
Yeah, right. But I think Al Anisim would be different. That's what I think.
You don't say Allah.
Yeah.
Is that a halacha? Like, let's say you're sitting Shiva in Rosh Chodesh from the field, you don't say Allah.
Yeah, well, you don't say Allah, especially in a base Avel, yeah. It's a big question why, because of added Simcha. So it's a very interesting question. Now look at the Ramban on the bottom of the page, bottom of page 4.
Doesn't he say it? Someone else gets up to say it?
Someone else said it. The
yeah. Or he walks out. He walks out. Yeah. It's a big shy of the Rokeach says that it has to do with the base of Avel. It's not even about the Avel. You can't say Hallel in the house of an Avel. Okay, he says like the Neshama is like Rofefes Sham, like the Neshama is still hanging out there, so you can't say Hallel in that house. The Ramban on bottom of page 4 poses probably the most interesting question in this discussion. Ramban, first Ramban in Maseches Megillah. Masha Shaninu Krochin Hamukaf in Choma Mimos Yoshua Benun Korin Bechamisha Asar. Kfarim Vayaros Gedolos Bar Basar. First Mishnah tells us walled cities read the Megillah on the 15th, the other cities read it on the 14th. Ramban says, Anitama Mi'od. I'm astonished. Ma rahu al kacha, umahi gia alehem. It's a pun from the words of the Megillah. What did they see, and what impelled them? Lasos Yisrael agudos b'mitzvah zu, to make a divisive mitzvah that splits the Jewish people. V'afal gav deleka hacha mishum delos iskodedu, and even though there's no technical violation of the avera of los iskodedu, which is forming different divisions where people have different practices, why? The havale shnei bate dinim b'shtei ayaros, kedisa perakamadi vamos. The Gemara says that if two different cities have two different customs, that's not a problem of factionalism. But mikol makom lechatchila, right? Initially, lama chilkum l'shtei kisos. Why would they split it into two different groups? The od, heichan matzinu b'torah. Where do you ever find in the Torah mitzvah chalukah bekach, a mitzvah which is split in half? V'hatorah amra, Torah achas u'mishpat echad yelachem. The Torah itself says that the laws of the Torah should apply equally to everyone, and you should have one law. V'chol de tikun rabbanon kein d'oraisa tikun. And whatever the rabbis institute as a holiday should follow the pattern of a Doraisa. And on a Doraisa, you never have this kind of division. We have a little bit of Yom Tov Sheni, but that seems to be a different issue. So Ramban says, maybe. V'shema yesh lomar, l'fisha nasa hanes b'shushan b'yedalit, v'noach shelahen hoya b'chamisha asar, kavu l'chamisha asar yom b'yom shehet chiluba. Okay, since maybe because Shushan rested a day later on the 15th, and that was the Iker Nes, so maybe they just figured that they'll follow the main Nes, and everybody else will have a separate halacha. Then the Ramban doesn't like that. He doesn't find it persuasive enough. So what does the Ramban suggest? Maybe somebody has a good suggestion. It is very strange. Why is Purim different from the other Yom Tovim? What would you suggest?
So it's not intrinsic in the day, and it's man-made.
Okay, but that doesn't justify... That's true. I would say that's kind of like a necessary proposition to get to where the Ramban wants to go. Right? You're saying it is different on account of it not being a holiday. But why initially would they want it to be different?
Does that have anything to do with the Malay?
No. I mean, maybe. Not for the Ramban.
Sure. What do you think?
I heard someone in a lecture who said that whenever you defeat a Malach, the day afterwards is a very important day.
Purim was really different for the people who experienced it, who lived in Shushan and people who lived outside of Shushan.
Ah, okay. How is it different?
I suspect, or the way I know, the people in Shushan probably felt it more, or was like more involved in it. They were with the king, they were at the Mishneh, or and everybody else who heard about it, they only suffered indirectly because of the proposal of sending the decree to wipe everybody out. But they didn't really feel it the same way as the people who lived probably.
Okay, so very interesting that Ramban gives somewhat of an opposite explanation. The Ramban says, the Ramban says that what happened is Ahasuerus declared basically war against all the Jews. Okay, so the Ramban says, but that's not what the Ramban argues. The Ramban says, and there were Jews living in Israel at the time, so who was at a greater threat? The Jews living in the walled cities, or the Jews who were living in these scattered little towns throughout the country? Clearly the Jews who didn't have fortification. That's what the Ramban says. So what happened is, Ahasuerus sent out this letter, and now all the Jews are panicking in these towns. Comes Yud Dalid of Adar, and Napochu. There was a big miracle. So Ramban shows from the Psukim of the Megillah that year, that first year, so the Jews who were living in the non-walled cities declared it as a Yom Tov, on their own initiative. Before, we read some of the Psukim 2 weeks ago, before Mordechai and Esther sent out to establish Purim as a holiday, they were saved, and they declared this as a day of Mishteh V'Simcha. Then what happened? So the Jews in the walled cities, they also celebrated that year. But because they were never their life was never in danger because they had the fortifications, so the next year and the year after, they did away with celebrating Purim. So you only had the non-walled cities celebrating it. Then Mordechai and Esther come along and they say, you know what, we're establishing this as a holiday for the Jewish people. So everyone has to do this. So Ramban says that they wanted to show that there was that the nature of Purim was that these Jews took on the initiative of celebrating the victory on their own before Mordechai and Esther came to establish it. So the establishment that came out of Shushan, of Tesvav, that's kind of the aberration on Purim. Because they're the cities of fortification. They didn't really feel the nace. They didn't establish it as a Yom Tov on their own. So therefore, for generations, we have this distinction because the real celebration of Purim is for the people in Yidalit. The people in the non-walled cities. Because they're the ones who decided that they were going to celebrate Purim as a Yom Mishtav Simcha. So the reason why we have two separate days, in contrast to all the other Yom Tovim, is because Mordechai and Esther wanted to preserve the difference between the Jews in the walled cities and the non-walled cities and how they took on the initiative of celebrating the Day of Purim. Yeah.
You can even answer that. It's even more, less of a, well, let's go to do, it's even more of a unification. The fact that they weren't otherwise celebrating it, and now they came back to the celebration, even if they had not felt the direct threat, you know, a couple of years later, they came to the recognition that if Mordechai and Esther declare it and they put it in and they make it a day, then they're going to celebrate it. You're saying that they celebrated the first year, not the second year, and then the fifth year or the sixth year, they start celebrating it again. More unification.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I think the Ramban would simply say that it's not a problem of Lo Tisko to do, because we're actually... the way you're celebrating on Yudalit is a different kind of a celebration than what you're celebrating on the 15th. On the 14th, you're celebrating the celebration of the Jews, how they took on Purim. So I think if you take this Ramban, you could explain why a lot of the halachos of Purim are almost contingent on like the initiation of Mikra Megillah, of like you're starting the day of Purim. It doesn't happen automatically just when the sun comes down. But a lot of the mitzvahs are contingent on your recognizing the day through Kriyas HaMegillah. Once you do tell over the story of Purim and Kriyas HaMegillah, then these other, the mitzvahs of the day kick in to celebrate it. What?
Why is it Yoshua?
Yes, the Ramban just says because they wanted to give kavod to Eretz Yisrael, so they fixed it based off the time of Yoshua ben Nun. I think that's what he says later on. But the notion that, I mean, the Gemara says, oh, we want to give kavod to Eretz Yisrael. That's why we consider Yoshua ben Nun. But the Ramban's saying it's more than that, because it's never about Shushan being different. It's about the fortified cities of the Jews in Eretz Yisrael being different from the scattered towns. All right, so the Ramban actually explains the Gemara much more elegantly. And the Day of Purim is celebrating the different responses of the Jews in Eretz Yisrael between walled cities and non-walled cities. If you think it all depends on Shushan, then it's kind of hard to figure out why Eretz Yisrael factors in. That's the... Okay, so that's just what I wanted to go through today. So it's again.
So from there, having just been through all this, is there really any other holiday that is comparable like Hanukkah?
Okay, so Hanukkah is different, definitely in two ways. Right. Nobody thinks that Hanukkah is Doche Avelos. Right, you have three opinions with respect to Purim. The Rambam is the only one to compare Hanukkah and Purim with that regard. Everyone else thinks that, and the way we paskin is that Purim is different. Purim at least suppresses Avelos. Hanukkah doesn't. B, a lot of Rishonim think there's no obligation to have a Suda on Hanukkah at all. On Purim, everybody agrees that there's definitely some sort of obligation on. It's very interesting. So Purim's kind of caught in between this status of a Yom Tov. Yeah, and doesn't have this just day of Hanukkah, which doesn't have any intrinsic status to the day at all. That's an interesting contrast. That's kind of interesting. When you see the Sefer and Igeres contrast also, it's strange that the Megillah also has this kind of in-between status between...
Question's better than the answer.
What?
It's a very good question. Better Ramban. Better question than the answer.
As do you think?
What's wrong with that answer?
I thought it was a pretty nice answer.
Very good.
Yeah, but